You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and you are listening to the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Welcome to the show tonight. We're glad you could join us. We're brought to you by preparewithdave.com. I used to sell storable food 6 months to 2 years, which is the recommended amount, and people said, Dave can't afford it. So what we did was we lowered that volume to 30 days, because 30 days will get you through most crises, and we charge $250 for four-week storable food, high quality. Well, we've now dropped the price to $99. You can't afford to not be without food, and now we've removed the last obstacle. $99, 4 weeks of storable food. Supplies are limited to two, but that doesn't keep you from coming back the next day and ordering more. How do you get there? Preparewithdave.com. We're also brought to you by Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. Give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. And finally, we're brought to you this hour by, well, Trade Genius Academy. Listen to me, folks. They've done something I never thought they'd do. I've known about this proprietary software that has a 96% win rate. I've seen the data. I've even done an interview with them on it. And now they're releasing it to you for sale, and it's at a discounted price. Go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com to find out what it is, what it's about. And I'll tell you, you're not going to be sorry, because I'm hearing from lots of people who've taken me up on this offer, and they are thrilled with the results. Well, on the Newsmaker line with me in this first hour, we have Paul Preston. Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio, and we know him from the New California movement, amongst other things. And Paul, I want to welcome to the show, and there sure is a lot going on.
Yeah, well, there sure is, and thanks for having me on, Dave.
You're welcome. Glad you could join us. Well, Paul, let's jump right down to the border. We see wave after wave of immigrants hitting the border. And I agree with Trump. Some of these damn people are good athletes. In fact, someone told me a joke the other day. They said, why does Mexico suck at Olympics? And I said, I don't know why. And they said, because all the ones that can run, jump, and swim are in America. And I saw these people hurdling the fence down there. They were athletic. So, yeah, the joke may be more true than not. But what do you see going on there in your home state, and why isn't Jerry Brown doing anything about this?
Well, Jerry Brown wants this to happen because he wants lawlessness. It's all about lawlessness for Jerry Brown and his communist minions. And this is what we've got. It's a system in California that's completely corrupt through and through. From the governor all the way down to, you know, your local DMV down there. The hustle is on for the destruction of California and our lifestyle. And, of course, ultimately, what this is going to lead to is the breakup of this union. Their goal is to separate, secede from the United States of America, California. And Jerry Brown would be put in place as president, El Presidente, as I call him, of California, and they're going to use the mechanism CalExit, yes, California, to expedite that. And they're doing all that they possibly can do to make that happen. And, of course, by being in complete defiance of the president, which is what I believe that they are, it is telling that you have somebody who is violating the Supremacy Clause of the United States of America. It's looking more and more like there's going to be a civil war almost. And that's my biggest fear, that there is actually going to be a civil war when the if California is, does in fact break up under the direction of Jerry Brown and the Bill Ayers that are running around espousing, you know, the Shining Path ideology of Maoist terrorism. So that's kind of fundamentally what it is. They're trying to destroy our border. And they've done a pretty good job up until just recently with this caravan, when the caravan had to be slowed down by the actual following of rules, which I find very interesting. Trump decided to follow rules. And, well, I mean, of course, it's a no-brainer for Trump to follow the rules. Obama, over his last 8 years, didn't follow any of the rules and allowed people to come in without any extra paperwork or, you know, doing the right thing. And now Trump is rushing down attorneys and everything else to try and slow this whole thing down and to stop these people from coming in. I know that they've stopped a number of them, but some of them are coming in with legitimate, apparently, quote, legitimate, you know, concerns about amnesty. So they're claiming that. And I heard there was some trickling of these people coming across, and then, you know, the activists are saying this is a huge, you know, victory, blah, blah, blah. So this is all by design. It's all planned out, very well coordinated, has been for a long time. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is all about billions of dollars, because these people come with a, you know, a price on their head. A lot of them had to pay anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 per person to make this little trek to come across the border. They've been aided and abetted by church organizations in the United States that ultimately will get large checks, large amounts of money for housing, clothing, and feeding individuals as they get across the border. So that's kind of the way it is right now. They've been slowed down a little bit. It's interesting to see how this is playing out. No help from Mexico, of course.
Yeah, I heard that as people were scaling the fences, they were yelling, "Gracias, Mexico." And so clearly Mexico is complicit in helping this. But you said two magic words. Actually said more than that, but two that really caught my attention. Shining Path. And to the person who doesn't know what that organization is, that comment probably slipped on by, and I think we need to explain it. The Shining Path, where it's from, and then the fact that they almost crossed their Shining Path with Donald Trump. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, Shining Path is a Maoist organization that comes out of, has been centered in the Lima, Peru area. And it has been well known to be a Maoist organization, a Maoist communist organization that has actually been helping aid and train MS-13 types down there. And then they send them up to America across the border. It's sort of a, you know, a covert type of action right now. But we were informed about 3 weeks ago, it was the Wednesday before Trump was scheduled to go off to Lima, Peru. And we were informed by some people that are down there in the area that you cannot, you know, whatever you do, Trump has got to not come down here because they plan to assassinate him. And so we, you know, kind of like, they're serious people. I mean, these are just not people that we would ignore. So we did everything we possibly could do to alert everybody that there's this plan afoot. And sure enough, as he got closer to leaving to go to the summit of the Americas, he canceled on the Tuesday before that. We're very, very grateful that he did. But there was a very well coordinated plan to assassinate Donald Trump. And you know, I everybody knows me on the radio. They know me. I just don't, you know, come out with, you know, something that seems like a real wild claim. And this seems like a real wild claim, but it certainly is. Was stuff that was very actionable on our part at Agenda 21 Radio, and all of the people I'm affiliated with were doing whatever we could to make sure that President Trump did not come down here, down there, and back out. But that does not mean that Shining Path does not have its influences throughout the rest of North America in particular, because Shining Path is part of the Indigenous Peoples Communist Program that Bill Ayers has been so effectively espousing for years now. And this is where all this indigenous people movement that comes from the border up here is basically based, is through the Shining Path ideology. It's a Maoist organization, which means that they're not going to do an overt revolution, but they're going to stage it one staging at a time. And you actually saw sort of a masterful play in that with these caravans that were coming from Pueblo Sin Frontera and People Without Borders Group, which is a church group that's stationed or based in San Diego. And I know that right now that the Justice Department has them under investigation for this latest little stunt. They've been around for a long time. And again, their idea is to go down and go into various towns and communities where they've had a lot of front work going on with some of their activists down there, their communist Maoist activists, their cells, if you will, and encourage people to come up across the border, pay their fees and so on. Sometimes there's kidnappings involved and things of that nature. They get them huddled up in these caravans. Now, this has been going on for several years at a very low level. And this is how these people work. It's very insidious. They start off, you know, it's the boiling of the frog routine. They start off with one caravan that's really small. Then they start off with another caravan the next year. And pretty soon they establish themselves as something. This is what happens annually. No big deal. The United States is not stopping us. We're bringing people across the border. And soon, of course, this year, it was the trial year. This was the big beta test this year. And all my sources that were in Mexico and also South America were all saying this is the big test to see how Donald Trump was going to react to this whole border situation. When, of course, when the big news came out, it came out, oddly enough, just a couple of days that they were going to organize this thing in March, just right after they signed the big omnibus bill. Now, the connect the dot there is that Paul Ryan, through the omnibus bill, got all these illegal alien programs that Obama had put forth in the New Americans program, Welcoming Communities program, and the immigration program that Obama put into effect through executive order. Billions of dollars have been funneled to those programs here in the United States, and they're all church organizations, and they're all getting the money from housing and feeding and clothing these individuals. That's why there's big money on it's billions of dollars. It's a huge multi-billion dollar business, and the churches, a lot of these churches and their charities are deep in it. They're the problem, and they're encouraging these people to come across our border en masse so that they can get the checks from you know, of course, the United States government. And Paul Ryan has been a major instrument in this. And a lot of people are suspecting that because the fingers are now starting to point at Paul Ryan and his surety of these programs and funding for them, that he's got something to do with this problem. Well, of course, I think he's absolutely got something to do with it. But, you know, he's starting to feel the heat, and that's one of the reasons why he is deciding not to come back and run again for the House. And that's probably a pretty good idea. But this has been absolutely brutal what they've done. Now, the situation with Pueblo Sin Frontera this year is that they decided they're going to bring in like 1,500 people. In fact, the first word I had about this was it was going to be 500 people. And then it turned the next, and within an hour, it was 1,000. So I called some friends. I looked up at the Facebook things that they had going on. I looked at the pictures, and I called a bunch of friends. They said, no, it's like 10,000 people, easily. That was the number. And sure enough, when you start really examining the pictures, the Facebook, it's clearly not 1,500 people. And it's more, even in one picture alone, you can see clearly, you know, as many as 4,000 or 5,000 people. So this was not the type of program. Now, the interesting thing, the good thing, I guess you can say, is that this is, a lot of it has been halted because of Trump's reaction, you know, calling up the military. He recognized for what it is. This is what they're doing is, this is, you know, Arab Spring Point 2, except it's going to be in South and Central and North America, where immigrants are going to flood across the border into the United States and going to destroy the United States like they're destroying Europe. It's the same model. And, of course, with that, you have a lot of other people that have been joining forces with people like Shining Path. And that has been a lot of your Iranians have been flying in on a daily basis from Iran into Caracas, Venezuela. This has been going on since 2005. We've been reporting on this ad nauseum since then, Chris Street and myself, that these planes leave Tehran. They have about 200 men, no women, men on them, and they fly into Caracas daily, the plane deadheads back to Tehran, taking nobody back. And this is, they've been resettling northern South America and also Central America with these men.
Well, I have a question. I have a couple questions, actually. The Iranian revelation is frightening to me. They're going into Venezuela, which is already destabilized. Are they forming any kind of paramilitary group, and have you heard anything about them moving in to training in the established terrorist/narco? But, you know, let me just name the names. ISIS, Muslim Brotherhood, Mexican drug cartels like the Juarez Cartel, they're all training in these bases in El Salvador and also in Honduras. Is there any indication these groups are part of this movement from Iran and they're going to be moving in and training there as well?
Oh, yeah. They've been doing this for years, Dave. And this, they've all joined forces. And, you know, it's the fight for the indigenous people. That's the mantra. That's why it's all so connected worldwide, the Shining Path and Bill Ayers and Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown's very well aware of what's going on, and so is Javier Becerra and the Californians up here, the Mexican gangsters, the staffers inside. This is a term that's used, an endearing term, I guess you could say, that's used by the staffers in the capital of California, the state capitol building. This is what these staffers tell me, and I've heard this many times. I've been to dinner with them. They say, "Oh yeah, the Mexican mafia with Jerry Brown." It's like
incredible.
It's incredible. But now we're coming to a point where pushing is coming to shoving with Jerry Brown, and of course he's openly enacting laws, or the state legislature is, and he's happily signing all these crazy, crazy laws. You heard about, was it 2943, AB 2943, which outlaws Bibles now. You won't be able to sell.
Yeah, I've done a piece on that. It's incredible. They're proposing also outlawing, homeschooling?
Yeah, I've heard, I haven't seen all that. That's something that's still in the works. They're kind of in the phase right now. We get towards summer of what they call gutting and amending. Where they start out with a bill that says, you know, we're going to do a freeway, you know, call it the Dave Hodges freeway down the middle of California. And all of a sudden that passes through, it goes through all the bill number. And then in the final days of this, they say, well, you know, we don't like that Dave Hodges so much because he's a talk radio guy. So we're going to name it, keep it the Dave Hodges freeway, but rather than freeways, what we're going to do is build housing for illegal aliens for the same price tag. And so that's what they do, and then they call that gut and amend. So they gut the bill, all the things that were references to your highway, they take out, and then they put in everything that's referencing the buildings for illegal immigrants. And that's how they get their money, their fund. They pass a bill, but it's not the real bill. It's a different bill, and that's why they call it gut and amend. So that sort of thing is the stuff that's going on right now. And we're going to find some more of this craziness stuff. This AB 2943 was a gut and amend bill. A lot of these crazy bills now that are going to come through are these gut and amend bills. So that's just the way it rolls. And then Jerry Brown will sign it. You know, he has 30 days once a bill gets to him to sign it. And, of course, all the ruckus dies down after 30 days, and then he signs it and it becomes law.
Let me shift back down into South America again with these groups coming in, like from Tehran. The Sanchez Paredes cartel, I've written about them now for 5 years. I was tipped off to them by a DEA agent. And what I know is they're basically the Peruvian Army, the Peruvian National Bank, and they are the conduit and coordinator between Middle East terrorist groups and the cartels in Central America, including Mexico. And they're the ones who are facilitating, in a lot of cases, underwriting and supporting these paramilitary training camps I just mentioned in El Salvador and Honduras. Now, long-winded preface here, but is this what Shining Path is also into? Are they partnered with this group in some way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Shining Path is not just Shining Path, and it's a worldwide organization. And you want to see their real activities, just check out what's going on in South Africa.
Whoa, hold on here. You're saying that this group is behind the white genocide going on with South African white farmers?
Absolutely. It's the same MO. They do the same things. Their same ideology there as it is up here. And that's what they're... You got to remember something. There is a proposed white genocide for California that comes out of the talking points by La Raza and Mecha.
Well, let's expand on that. I know where you're going with this, but we get a lot of new people, Paul. Let's educate them.
Well, you know, La Raza, and La Raza and Mecha are two communist organizations that have been around for, well, maybe 100 years for the most part, and their whole deal is as a communist organization is to fight for the indigenous people of Mexico originally and Aztlan, and they've made an issue out of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, and the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which was the secession, if you will, of the portions of Mexico that were in now what is now the Southwest after the war of with Mexico, the Mexican-American War. And that was agreed upon. I think there's money that was expended for that, and Mexico was happy to go their happy little ways. But they said that that was an act of revolution against the Mexican people, and we stole their land. And now these are the Mexican, the communist agitators that have been involved with all this for so many years that have been trying to make this point and sell this point to the indigenous people. Remember, that is their land, and we Americans, the gringos, stole it. And by any means necessary, they're going to take it back. And I've had 26 years working directly with people like Mecha and La Raza in the school system, and I've watched them with their other gangster buddies. And they are not the same as, you know, Sereños or Norteños or Bloods or Crips. They have a different type of, or even MS-13, they have a different type of approach. Their approach is really more north of the border. And by the way, the connotation of La Raza in Mexico, and La Raza, for those of you who don't know, means the race. But if you're down in Mexico, La Raza does not take an evil tone or turn or understanding with the Mexican people. They mean it as a term of endearment. And more than anything else, it's a friendly organization, so to speak. But up here in California and above the border, it becomes the communist version of it. That's why they hijack, you know, words and phrases and organizations. And it's very much a radicalized organization, but it does a lot of the groundwork for seed planting revolution. And that's one of the things that they've been very good about. And the things that they insist upon is basically white genocide. They talk about, and I can't tell you, Dave, I have had, and I've told this on my radio show many, many times, I have had numerous incidences where I've been involved, being called racist and so on from Mecha and La Raza, and they're telling me that they're going to run me out of California because it's their land, they own it, all Europeans will be out, they'll destroy the European culture and heritage in California and the Southwest. And they'll do so by open violence, and that they make absolutely no doubts about that's what they're going to do. And this is something that's been known by a lot of people who work in police forces and so on for years that they've been in this position. So what we have here in California, there's more talk of that now. We had an incident in January 2017. In our tea party where a man came to us, kind of frightened, a Mexican man, and told us about a meeting he had with the mayor of Sacramento, Daryl Steinberg, leading a meeting in December of 2016. Remember, Obama was still in office. That was attended by five Obama officials and many members of La Raza and Mecha and La Familia Nuestra and several of the other outlying gangs. There were Communist Party people there. It's the number of Communist Party people there. And Mexican consulate. In fact, it was held in a place called Natomas, right outside of Sacramento, right near the Mexican consulate, which has this huge, monstrous flag out in front. And they openly talked about what would happen if, in fact, California was not able to separate by secession. Because remember, this was at the time when they talked the first go around for Cal exit. And that was the plan, was use the Cal exit methodology to separate California peaceably by vote. And of course, that fizzled out completely. This is all being sponsored by George Soros and Jerry Brown's buddies and things like that. the hand-picked president was supposed to be Jerry Brown. That was very well known and common. And, of course, that just didn't work out. We all shot it down in flames, and that we were successful in the campaign of shooting that one down. And so, anyway, this was a very terrifying conversation we had. 80-some people of the Tea Party heard the whole thing. It's not that we're making it up. But it clearly was an attempt at white genocide, and this is what he brought to the table, was that they plan on killing, if in fact they were unable to separate California peaceably as a nation, they're planning on basically genocide for white people in the United States, or in Southwest specifically. And would people be able to do that? Would they feel comfortable to do that? That was what the conversation was about. And since then, we know that a lot of the people have not been too comfortable with that approach, and that that were in the room. We know that La Familia Nuestra backed right out. They backed out real quick. They were the controlling unit of the Norteños, which actually control the Mexican gangs, the indigenous California Mexican gangs. And of course, they've since been rounded up in various towns and communities, I might add, here in California. I've gotten several reports of the Norteños themselves, which is the Northern California gang. They claim red, and you see 1-4 all over for Norteños. They have had a lot of their old gangsters rounded up by Homeland Security, and really what we've discovered is that these are the holdover from Obama people, and they've rounded them up and didn't round up any MS-13 or Sirenios in the area, which of course is a big concern. So, in other words, anybody that was putting up any kind of resistance, I think, at that meeting was being rounded up and shipped out and being replaced with MS-13 people coming in as settlers behind them. So, and of course, as you know, the MS-13 have a particular function. They assassinate high-level people, politicians and, you know, decision-makers and personalities such as you and me. That's one of their goals, is to come in when they invade, basically, and knock out people like us. So this was openly discussed. This was the discussion took place in December. We got our first meeting in January, and this gentleman shows up with another person that I do know. And this is basically the pregame, if you will, of what we're seeing right now. Now they've come across, they've used a great Maoist tactics and Saul Alinsky to to set up cells here in California. They have a number of cells. In fact, Chapman University has become quite the Maoist communist cell. Peter McLaren, who was a longtime communist activist at UCLA, has now changed addresses. He is an Argentinian communist. He's a known Marxist. He brags about his Marxism. And now he's a professor at Chapman University, and they've got quite a communist cell that has moved into Chapman University. Jim Doty, the president there, has retired, and they brought in another man from Italy that's affiliated with the Pope as president.
Oh, that's telling. That's very telling.
Yeah, so these are the games behind the scenes, and of course it's the papacy that's controlling all this now, and what they're trying to do is take over Orange County, California, and that's becoming quite the center of attention for this. For the Peruvian government, or for the shining path in Northern California, or in California.
You had mentioned this group in San Diego, and I've heard their name a number of times, and it keeps slipping my mind. Are they George Soros supported in terms of what they're doing to bring these immigrant waves north to the border?
Everything is George Soros tapped in some way, and others as well. But George Soros apparently is carrying the burden of a lot of funding for this and the orchestration of it. That's what I understand. I could be wrong, but it those are what my sources tell me.
What's interesting is Kathy Rubio, who's an eyewitness to these camps that we've mentioned in El Salvador and Honduras, she's been trying to get a hold of me for 2 days. We keep playing phone tag, and she said big developments, which tells me they have new arrivals. I don't know who the new arrivals are, but I guarantee that's the message. What doesn't worry me, and let me tell you, I wrote about this a month ago when the first wave came to the border. I said, Trump is not worried about 1,500 immigrants. This is not going to get his attention, threat right. To threaten NAFTA, to put military on the border. It's way bigger than that. Right. And the point I made was the 1500 are a smokescreen for the paramilitary groups making their way into America for nefarious reasons.
Well, this is now we're going to look at phase two, because remember, it was a beta test. This is what everybody's been, you know, it's pretty obvious. This was the beta test. They had smaller beta tests over the last couple of years to kind of set the precedence. And now they've got this beta test down at the caravan. They're trying to measure the depth of the reaction from Trump. And I do have to applaud the president for pulling the plug and saying we're putting them, you know, he's laid the groundwork for something else, too. And he's brought in the troops. And it's kind of interesting. I can tell you right now that the latest that came to me today was that we have troops that are afoot. I say again, troops that are afoot leaving California for the border. And that is as of today. It will start tomorrow.
I'll go you one better. I've been told twice we have special ops monitoring the situation on these caravans. We even have infiltrators who are part of U.S. intelligence agencies who have infiltrated these caravans.
Right. Right.
And I don't know any more detail than that, but let's put it this way. You don't put intel people undercover into these movements unless you think there's some pretty bad guys coming, like guys with suitcase nukes or a biological weapon. I mean, to me, they're there for a reason, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is the game that's going on right now. And, you know, I can remember... You know, so many years ago, there was a movie out, and I can't remember the name of the movie, about the Navy SEALs, and, you know, when they had to take out some cartel members and things like that, and something Valor. Help me out with this, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Anyway, I should know it, because Scotty Waugh, I know pretty well. He made the movie. I'm just having it's blanking me right now. Anyway, but when I interviewed Scotty Waugh about this, Acts of Valor. That's what I know. And this was a movie that was made, I think, gosh, it must have been seven or eight years ago. And it was about the Navy SEALs, one of the SEAL teams. And the actual actors in the movie were the SEALs themselves, which is pretty interesting. But Scotty Waugh told me some things that, who was the producer, he said it was interesting because when he approached them with the movie, they said, look, we'll just write the script for you, you know, and we'll be the actors. And he's like, well, what, you know, your multi-million-dollar business, and I'm turning it over to the Navy. So I said, no, it's no better way to do it, right? And so they agreed to do that. And so what they did is they actually took from real scenarios, real events that they had been involved in, and they actually put them all together as training, and they mimicked everything that they did. And that's so what actually was portrayed in that movie, Act of Valor, actually took place. And I asked that on air of Scott. He says, yes, these events actually took place. They're real. And so if you go back and look at that movie, you get some sort of an idea of what you're talking about with these special operators and what they're doing in Mexico and other places of Central and South America. You know, when you take a look at the whole history of Central and South America, and, you know, we had an opportunity to do this the other day. We were talking about what was going on with May Day and things like that and the Declaration of Independence and all the things. Remember, of course, it was Christopher Columbus, or Cristobal Colón, if you're in Spain, who came to the New World, and he put, you know, two banners down, one for the Catholic Church and one for Spain, and claimed the New World for Spain and the Catholic Church. The priest did. And, of course, the Spanish influence and the other colonists spread throughout the New World. This is after 1492. And as they spread throughout the world, of course, different countries started to be influenced by Peru and Argentina. All that stuff fell under basically the realm of the King of Spain. And their influence grew until, well, really after 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was declared for United States of America. A lot of these other countries did the same thing. They declared their own independence, Mexico being one in 1822. But you had Peru and you had Argentina and so on. They all declared too. So the Declaration of Independence was working itself through as a document and influencing in the New World, which did not settle well with the Spanish or the papacy. And you notice I'm saying papacy and not the Catholic Church. I want to be very clear about this. And so that was deemed all of a sudden a threat. Well, there were a lot of problems. The papacy did not like having to give up, nor did Spain like having to give up its interest in the New World, but they ultimately did. They tried to create relationships. Some of them were stronger than others in various countries. But, you know, it's kind of, there were some incidents that heard of the Guano Wars, which was, I think, in 1863 or 4 or something like that, where the Spanish were trying to reclaim. They were actually trying to attempt at that point in time to resettle into Peru and Chile. And it wasn't a successful thing. And those of you that know what guano is, it's bird dung that's found in tons and tons of mountains and islands off of the coast. It's very rich in nitrogen and phosphate and those things like that. Good fertilizer, also good for gunpowder. And they actually took some of those islands over, the Spanish did, but it didn't turn out. My point is that there has been attempts in the past of reclaiming the New World by Spain and by other interests such as the papacy. Right now, the claim of, I believe, reclaiming the New World has a lot to do with reconquering the Southwest United States by way of this flood of immigrants that's coming across, and by the methodology used through Shining Path and Bill Ayer's little group there. The Maoist cells that they're establishing in the United States, such as what they're doing in the city of Orange at Chapman University.
This is how you lose your state. Let's jump to a macro picture of this, though. Let's assume for a second that CalExit ends up being successful, and all these Obama implants from his cabinet bring this to fruition under Eric Holder's leadership, and they are self-declared as independent. What do you see happening at that point? And by the way, I should mention this too. California won't become a free and independent nation. They plan to become a protectorate of the United Nations.
Correct. That's correct.
So what do you see happening at that point, Paul?
Well, if that point, in fact, was, I think there's obviously, well before that, we would, the declaration of insurrection by the President of the United States would already be had, and there would be troops running around all over California trying to clean this whole mess up. And right now there's been, I think, stage one of that by this declaration of the President to bring troops down to the border. And this is just the beginning. And my sources today told me that's the fact, that there are, I know, California National Guard and other troops that are moving as we speak. They're getting their orders tonight and tomorrow morning, and they're going to be going down the border by all, you know, that's the only place to go. Some of them, special operators, are going different places, which, you know, wherever that is. But this is, I think, phase one of that. It's clear it's phase one. You know, the one of the things that we did with the New California State Movement was we have been trying to put an end through the movement of forming a new state, at least being a pressure point to put an end to this sort of thing. And we think we can. We think that we'll be successful. But this is why we declared our independence as a new state on January 15, 2018, because we understand the significance of a declaration of independence, which no one else in any of the other movements have done. But see, you bring it up because if in fact they come out as CalExit and they declare themselves a new nation with the same, you know, what we have done here with the declaration process for the United States, then it becomes a document that can be used ultimately in the decision making of the United Nations. And as they look at California and say, well, they're a nation, we're going to accept them, we endorse and support their independence movement away from the United States.
I remember when we were talking about the dangers associated with the Oroville Dam, and that if it actually broke, what the catastrophic economic and agricultural implications would be for the United States. Would those same factors come into play if CalExit goes live and it goes to fruition?
Oh, yes, yes. And again, by the Supremacy Clause, the President would enact, because of the violations of this, you know, what they're doing, which is, you know, it's insubordination, it's sedition, and it's clearly a violation of what we are guaranteed as citizens in California under Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which is a Republican form of government, which is freedom from invasion, and which is also freedom from violence, which, by the way, we're not being given that right now by the state of California. So when you start taking a look at what legally, constitutionally is going on here in California, and the failure at every one of those three is just in the Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, then you go to Article 6, Clause 2, which is, of course, a supremacy clause that says that all laws are supreme. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It's clear that they have no more regard for the supremacy clause than fly. And, of course, that's exactly what happened when you had the Civil War breakout. They did not. They ignored the supremacy clause, and everybody, you know, had acts of secession, or they had congresses spread around through the states and the Confederacy, and they all decided to vote to leave the Union and violate the supremacy clause. So California is technically in violation of that supremacy clause right now, which has been the leadership of Jerry Brown, the monoparty system, and all these other people. And so as a result, we're on the precipice of a civil war. But, you know, we reacted because we felt we could form a new state, and that changes the conversation completely.
Before we go there, Paul, I want to just go back. I want to talk about implications. If California separates from the U.S., truly separates, what's the economic and agricultural impact? Let's cite those for the listening audience.
Oh, it would be devastating to the world. And because they wouldn't, if they have any notion of running California in hopes of retaining its position as the seventh or eighth or whatever they say economic power of the world, then they're going to have to really change what they're doing right now from a bureaucratic standpoint, a government standpoint. But they're not going to do that. Of course, it's going to be run like any other South American country. It's going to be run like it is now, being run in the ground. California, if you go up and down the state, which I've been doing quite a bit for New California, driving around and into Los Angeles, I had to take a big diversion again on Sunday through Los Angeles. It was very interesting. But there's tens of thousands of people that are homeless, living in squalor in Los Angeles. It's looking more like a third world country. You go down to drive through various portions of the LA Basin and even in Orange County, San Diego, even though we were down in San Diego, people living in bushes alongside the freeway. I mean, this is it's squalor, it's third world, and we're going to turn into Venezuela sooner or later. The housing, only the rich get the housing. That's the way it works. Only the rich get housing. And
yeah, I've seen that all the way up to San Francisco in the Bay Area. What percentage of the economy flows through California? The nation's economy.
Oh, about 25-30%.
So in other words, if the separation was complete, we'd lose a quarter of the economy almost instantaneously. What about agriculturally? What percentage there does California contribute to the nation's agricultural supply?
All the food, Dave, would go to China.
Do you know what the percentage versus the gross total of the United States would be?
The percentage of,
California, what percentage of total U.S. agricultural output does California contribute?
I think 40%.
Oh, my God. So we'd lose 40% of our agriculture and 25% of our retail,
right,
or trade. Right. That's what I was trying to get to. I'm sorry I didn't ask the question quite as clearly as I'd liked, but this is catastrophic. So
right.
You're coming along, and you've got this new California movement. We're not going to have time tonight, and the time we have left to fully develop this. We're going to have to do this in a subsequent interview. But let's get down to brass tacks here. You've got this new California movement that is moving like lightning. It's like
right.
a hot knife through butter.
Right.
Let's talk to the people who may not be as familiar with this, say in New Jersey or Missouri. And they're going, New California, what's this all about? Can you kind of just give an overview in about a five-minute period?
Sure. What we're doing here in New California is establishing a new state within a state. And Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution provides for that. And we're doing it by the book. We're following the Constitution. We're following actually the pathway that was set down and established by West Virginia. And there's two reasons. There's a reason for that, is that we feel that there's a high probability that, of course, California is going to try and secede. If that's the case, that becomes a West Virginia model. And we are going to declare, we've already declared our independence as New California. in the case of West Virginia, what they had secessionist movements, and Virginia left the Union, thus violating the Supremacy Clause. And when they did that, a group of people in Western Virginia who had already organized themselves by counties into a so-called state were attempting to create statehood. They couldn't create it because West Virginia was left sort of sitting there without any ability to approve itself to be sent on to the Congress. They actually created a reformed government of West Virginia to allow that to happen, and they ultimately made their way into the Union. We are planning actually on doing, and in fact we are in the process, many of our counties have already selected senators and assembly members to start the bicameral legislature that's going on. We already have an executive branch. We're developing attorneys for a judiciary branch. We're going to be meeting in July to form that government. This will be the formation of a new government for New California. And, of course, that's not going to be taken well, but we need to move on. And just as a contingency, if, in fact, there's an insurrection in California, which day by day it looks like that's going to happen, we are forming a reformed government as well. So we will have that government in waiting. The reformed government of California will be waiting, and that is already in process. We're waiting until after the primary to see what happens there, because we know that things will be different after the primary. And so, but with that reform government, will act in lieu of the California government. And if there's a scenario that's correct, there's a law professor out of Tennessee wrote a scenario that kind of described what is going on and what could possibly go on with California, New California, what Donald Trump would do to react to do it. And the bottom line is that Donald Trump would come in and seize power and authority from the state of California and declare their government void. So Jerry Brown and those other folks wouldn't have a place to be, and they'd just have to turn to an established government that was already set up in lieu of that, and that's the New California, reformed government of California. And then the other side of that is that we would request, New California would request statehood, and we would work with the reformed California and then the Congress to actually become a state. And we are doing that because we are doing this constitutionally to, again, remain in the Union and not break up the Union. The whole thing, Dave, is it's a house of cards for the Constitution, and the Constitution provides the legal framework. If we violate the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Section 2, then the glue that holds this nation together, the Union together, withers away. That's exactly what happened in the Civil War. And that's why it's against the law. It's unconstitutional to secede, because we have guaranteed that we're going to keep this Union together no matter what. So Donald Trump, he's sworn an oath. He has the law on his side, the history on his side, to declare an insurrection in California. And when that would happen, he would bring in the troops to guard and protect a new government that he would establish.
Do you think he would take the people from your movement then and install them in the vacated positions of those traitorous officials who get arrested?
I would say he would do that. I'm not going to comment about who we have or what we're doing or any of that stuff, but I would say that would be pretty much the course of action.
Or his only other option then is to have a military tribunal, and you know how unpopular that is.
Well, the military will come in to assist in the new government, and that's a fact. They will come in. They will assist in the reestablishment of a new government. And we're just laying the groundwork because, number one, we want to be a new state, and this is the legal lawful way to do it. It's also a way to preserve the Union. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about preserving the Union. Wake up out there in America. I mean, and all these other programs that are out there are just nothing but distractions. CalEx, the three-state plan. Three-state plan is going to get you three Democratic states. Hello? And the other plan, the Jefferson plan, does not have the clout. They've got great people that are working in the program. The leadership is very suspect, but the great people of that whole Northern California area, they lack the population to claim representation.
Exactly. Yeah, I know what you're saying there. For my money, and we're almost out of time here, but I want to say this. For my money, if California wasn't the most influential state in the United States, they would go somewhere else. So they would go to New York. It'd be New York exit. In other words, this is a plot not because California wants out, but the globalists want California out to destroy America. That's how I think we should be reading this. Paul, in the time we have left, tell everyone how they can follow your good work.
Well, Agenda 21 Radio, we're on Red State Talk Radio Monday through Friday, and it's 9 a.m. to noon Eastern and 6 a.m., of course, to 9 Western. We're also affiliated, obviously, with newcaliforniastate.com, and visit that website. Donate, donate, donate. We need your donations because that's what keeps us going. But newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, and remember, press that donate button. We are moving along. We have now 39 counties out of the 58 counties who have active committees to form New California. And Dave, we're not stopping there. We're going to be at 49 counties when this is over with. We'll have 49 of the 58 counties involved in forming New California.
Kind of boxing those communists in, aren't you?
Well, they can have their happy workers' paradise someplace else.
Yeah, but that's when the fun will start, and I mean fun in quotes. You talked earlier about white genocide. That's when I think they make the move of desperation, and that is really what's frightening to me, Paul, because if I were a betting man, I'm going to say you're not getting out of this without a lot of bloodshed. What do you think?
It all depends, Dave, on what's happening at the border and how successful are. You know, I'm going to go back to the those guys, the special operators, and what they're doing. Let's hope that I know special operators. I know them. I know how they are, and they are absolutely outstanding American professional heroes, in my opinion. Let's let them do the work.
I agree. Let them do their job. I agree, Paul, my friend. We are out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. It's been Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio. Paul, very quickly, tell people how they can listen to your show in about 20 seconds or less.
Agenda21radio.news is the website, and we're on Red State Talk Radio every Monday through Friday live, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. So listen to us there.
Great network, great show. I'm on Red State Talk Radio as well, as an ancillary to Global Star that we're on. Courtesy of Paul Preston, by the way. Paul, continued good luck, and thanks for all you do for America. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this hour. We'll be back. Stay tuned, because it's going to get even dicier. Our thanks go to Paul Preston. Okay, and guys, listen to me. Don't touch that dial.